And in between, Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in the next few minutes, see what he has lined up today. And some school delays today, not so much closings, but it's the fourth straight day where we've had the KDK Radio Storm Center open, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand, the Yellow Van, and the Butler Transit Authority. You can always reach our list at kdkradio.com, where you also can see many of our guests via video and our video stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And joining us is Emily Jo Gaspich, who is the Executive Director of the Urban Land Institute. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Larry.
I can see you, which is kind of cool on radio. Meantime, you have heard and have been a part of a lot of discussions about how to jumpstart downtown Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh area, revitalize the city. We heard from the Downtown Pittsburgh Partnership yesterday talking about their three-year plan for the Golden Triangle. First, tell us about the Urban Land Institute. How long has this been in place, and what's the mission?
So the Urban Land Institute is one of the oldest and largest networks of cross-disciplinary real estate and land use experts in the world. We were established in 1936. We have about 45,000 members globally. 40,000 of those members are in the Americas. And in 1989, Pittsburgh was fortunate enough to get a district council, and district council are what we kind of call our boots on the ground in the city. And we have about 200 members here. There's about 48 some district councils in the United States. And we are basically a group that focuses on education, best practices, lessons learned. So as a 501c3, our specialty is really convening stakeholders to find solutions for land use problems. And some of our mission priorities are attainable housing, decarbonization and net zero, and educating the next generation of diverse professionals. But we also have other centers and initiatives within our organization, in particular, our real estate and capital markets center, which is the department that helps us put on the emerging trends event.
And that just took place on Tuesday of this week. So at the Power Center at Duquesne University. So what were some of the takeaways from that gathering?
It did. It was a very exciting gathering, and I think it was very optimistic. You know, Pittsburgh was named in one of the top 20 cities for climate resilience. We are top three in terms of what we pay AI engineers. We're only behind San Francisco and Seattle. And, you know, when you get down to it, Pittsburgh is relatively more affordable than some other cities. And so what we want to focus on is we do have some of the oldest housing stock. So how can we better leverage the housing stock that we have and also create opportunities for more housing stock and more dense housing stock? I think connectivity was a theme. We've had some great opportunities over these, I want to say maybe the past 15 years or so, with the T being extended over to the North Shore. The North Side neighborhoods are bustling now and becoming more dense with more residential people. The BRT is coming online to connect the Oakland community. So where are there opportunities to make more transit connections so that it's an attractive city for people and it's easy to get around? And also, where can we create opportunities, more opportunities for outside space? And I think, you know, Pittsburgh is very fortunate in the fact also that we have a lot of philanthropic organizations and a thriving nonprofit community. And what organizations like River Life and PDP and the Parks Conservancy, what they've been able to do with our public spaces is amazing. And I think it's a testament to what we can continue to do in the future here.
One of the examples is the Gulf Tower, which everybody in the region is aware of for years. It's been so iconic. Is a $230 million plan to begin the process of turning it into apartments and an upscale hotel, which is a big deal because the stakeholder there wants to, you know, make it work for Pittsburgh.
Yes, and it should be noted that Rugby Realty, you know, they've passed the test in Pittsburgh. You know, back in the early 2000s, Eve Picker and Rugby Realty were already starting to convert some of these office buildings into housing. So they definitely know how to do it. We definitely know that it can be done. I think right now, because there's such a sense of urgency to reposition the downtown to be more balanced in terms of office space and residents, that it kind of seems like it's taking forever. But real estate projects, you know, typically do take years, sometimes decades in the making, especially if you're trying to assemble land and clear title and get your investors excited. And now with these conversions, you know, one of the big challenges is identifying what buildings can more easily be converted than others. Not to get too technical and, you know, too nerdy here, but, you know, one of the biggest challenges is that when you have an office building, all of the utilities and stairs and services are kind of in the center of the building. And when you're converting it over to residential, sometimes the plumbing and HVAC can be a little bit challenging to get it spread out through residential units. So that's where we're seeing a lot of the need for more detailed design and something that adds to the costs.
Well, more to come, and it's only going to get busier downtown. Emily Jo Gaspich, Executive Director of the Urban Land Institute. Appreciate your time this morning.